Proverbs chapter 2 and verse 1. And we have a handout on wisdom on this section here. 2 verse 1. We'll look at verses 1 through 5. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Jim, would you lead us in prayer?
Heavenly Father, again, thank you and praise you for who you are. Praise you for this time that we can gather together as believers here, the freedoms that we have. Thank you for Pastor Mark, and pray that you would give him your words to us this morning. Feed us with your word, we pray in Jesus' name.
Amen. Proverbs is the book of wisdom. And in chapter 1, we saw a lot about warning to take heed to the call of wisdom, how wisdom cries out to us. And we've seen how wisdom is personified in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is wisdom, Colossians 2, 2 and 3. In him are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And so he appeals to man, but sometimes man doesn't hear. And then we saw the consequences of that, serious thing not to hear the words of wisdom. But now we look at a positive encouragement here in chapter 2 of how we can obtain wisdom. And wisdom is not obtained by just a mere cursory reading of the word, as one might, maybe I'll read a chapter before I go to sleep and I hope that I could get something. You know, it's going to take more. It's going to take a diligent search, as we see here. And so he appeals as a father to a son, and that's the setting of Proverbs, by the way, actually father and a mother, to a son. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee. Now, in that handout, you notice, and that's the first four verses there in Roman numeral 1, the search for wisdom, and you have eight different commands here: to receive, hide, incline thine ear, apply thine heart, cry, lift up thy voice, seek, search for. So in all of it, you can see that there's an effort. And we'll go into some of the details of that. Now, notice what we're seeking: his word, his commandments, wisdom, knowledge, understanding, silver. Comparing wisdom as something very valuable as silver and hidden treasure. And so it's worth seeking. This is worth setting our hearts upon and pursuing. But it's going to take an effort. You know the passage where Jesus said, seek and ye shall find. Knock, it shall be opened. Ask, it shall be given. And the tense of those words are, seek and keep on seeking. Knock and keep on asking. Knocking, ask and keep on asking. In other words, it's a persistent pursuit that's going to obtain. Not a hit and miss type of thing. Been a long time since I've been in the Word, a long time since I've really sought God in prayer. That's not going to find wisdom in the fullest sense of what we're going to see wisdom is. And by the, if you know, notice down Roman numeral 2 what wisdom is: reverential trust of the Lord, knowledge, personal, experiential knowledge of God. That's wisdom. That's true wisdom. It's where you know the Lord. It's where you, not just in salvation through faith in Christ who loves us and died for our sins, rose again. Now that's the beginning of it. But then there's a growth in the relationship, isn't there? If we're obtaining wisdom, that's where we begin to, like Paul said, that I may know him, power of his resurrection, fellowship of his sufferings. And that we don't want that to be like a man who is in the water treading, you know, he can get his head up a little bit and he goes down and sinks. No, God wants us to enter into that abiding relationship with him. And that really is what it is to find, to obtain wisdom, where we know God, and it's a personal relationship and a walk with God. That's where we're entering into the wisdom that God intends for us. So with that, let's look at it in chapter 2, verse 1. My son, if thou wilt receive my words. Now, we've seen this already. There's a reception by faith that is involved here, because you can hear it, not hear it, right? You can be exposed to it. Many people are in America. But that doesn't mean that it's received. And so receive my words. Now, Paul, as he wrote to the Thessalonians, he was praising them that they heard the word not as the word of man, but as it is in truth the word of God. 1 Thessalonians 2:13. And that's part of it, where we recognize this is the truth. And we are open to that truth. You know, we're looking at God's word here. And receive my words, you notice here. This is the word of God. This isn't just man's wisdom. This isn't some opinion. This isn't the opinion of Salem Bible Church. It is. It's the belief, the conviction. But it is the God's word, right? And so receive my words. And the starting point for wisdom is revelation. Now, it's very important to understand that, because ever since the word of God was given, Satan has attacked it. Hath God said? And today you have an adding and taken away from the Bible. The boys called on Jehovah's Witness yesterday and calling, and one of the points of issue was, well, they've changed their Bible. You know, they've taken out some words, added some words. Well, you can't do that. Revelation 22. It's all inspired by God, and it's profitable. Holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. So nobody can come and arbitrarily edit it how they want to suit their views. No. God's word stands in judgment on us, not on us in judgment on the word. And so we're to receive it as it's spoken, and to receive it by faith too. Now, you notice my words. The word of God is the source of wisdom, the scriptures. Let's go to Deuteronomy 4. Israel had many blessings from God, chiefly because unto them were given the oracles of God, Romans 3. And notice here that this is brought out in Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 5. It's a great privilege to have the Bible. Behold, Deuteronomy 4, 5. I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me that ye should do so in the land whither you go to possess it. Keep, therefore, and do them. For this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. For what nation is so great who hath God so nigh unto them as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon him for? And what nation is there so great that hath statutes and judgments so righteous as all this law which I set before you this day? And so what group of people is there today besides Christians who have a book that is given to them by God that we can absolutely trust as the truth? It's amazing, isn't it? The privilege that we have. We want to hold it to your heart. And so receive my words. God teaches us out of his word. Let's go to Psalm 94:12. Now more on the individual application here. You know, in a personal way, God wants to teach us through his word, those personal devotional times. Nothing quite like that. No substitute for that. In Psalm 94:12, blessed is the man whom thou chastenest, O Lord, and teachest him out of thy law. And we saw that word instruct can be translated chasten. But he teaches us in a personal way. And, of course, the primary revelation of his word is wisdom, is the Christ who is wisdom. So receive my words. That's the first admonition. Now let's go to the second one. He says, and hide my commandments with thee. Now the Hebrew here is to keep my commandments by thee. In other words, they're right there. It doesn't mean that your Bible is on the table by your chair, although that's good. But it's more than that, isn't it? This is where Psalm 119:11, thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. Or, as Paul said in Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Jesus said, John 15:7, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, it shall be done unto you. So, now that takes some study, doesn't it? That takes some memorization. That takes some meditation. And where it's in the heart. And now, Jesus, who's a perfect example in everything, when he was tempted by the devil, he came back with, it is written. Now, he didn't have to get out his scroll, you know. And let me find a reference for that now to come back. And he knew it, and he also knew how to apply it. He knew it in its context. And we have it, don't we? And we need to be masters of the book where we hide it, and it's there, and it's part of us. You know, it's dwelling in us. That's where we'll get the victory. It's amazing how much emphasis that there is upon the importance of the Word of God in the believer's life. You cannot have spiritual victory and be distant from this book. So, my son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee. Now, you notice the if, and remember in all of this what we're leading towards. Then thou shalt find wisdom. So that's what we're after. So we've got to receive his words, and then we've got to keep his commandments by us. In other words, it's not far from us. And by the way, my commandments, we're going to see in our study in 2 Peter this morning in the worship service, that we're to be mindful of the commandments of the Lord and of his apostles. In other words, in contrast to the false teachers. And there's a lot of voices out there, right? And sometimes it can even be a born-again teacher. But you want to test it with the Word of God, though, right? Is it human philosophy or psychology? That's a subtle one. And traditions of men getting in there? Or is it truly the Word of God? So hide my commandments with thee. It's nothing like that, the purity of his word. Now let's go on to the second verse, Proverbs 2:2. Again, it's all leading up to wisdom obtaining, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom. And the thought here is to be attentive to. Now this is a practical thought. And there's an alertness that's necessary. I know it's easier to teach as far as keeping attention than it is to sit and listen. The mind, they say, people hear 30% of what is taught. Now, I think it's higher than that for Christians that are dependent on the Holy Spirit, you know, listening. But still, our minds will wander some, won't they? And so it's the thought here is be attentive to the ear. Are we really hearing and what God is saying? And then we don't want to miss anything. There's an alertness that is necessary. And God can give us that. There is a quickening by his Spirit, isn't there? You know, you can be tired from a day's work and get into the Word, and there's a quickening that God's Spirit can give in the study of the Word, and energizing. It's supernatural how God can do that if we're in tune with him. So incline thine ear unto wisdom. So there's an attentiveness that God wants us to have to wisdom. And remember, wisdom is Christ. And then he says, apply thine heart. Now here you have the inner man, the heart. There's a turning the heart is the thought here, turning toward the Lord with the heart to understanding. And the heart is the seat of the intellect, emotions, and will. That's the inner man. That's the inner being of one. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. In other words, your mind, your heart, your will, your emotions, rather, your mind, your will, with the whole man. That's the thought. And turn your heart. Now, probably a leading thought here is, it's not just surface. It's not just going through the motions. You can do that, right? You know, we are creatures of habit. A person can say, well, I've read my Bible. Well, it's good. Did we get it in our heart as we read the Bible? In other words, did we embrace it, might be a way to put it. Did we have a love towards the truth of it? Did it reach our affections? Because that's when we're motivated, isn't it? When it reaches there and you love the Word, you love the Lord, and you love to be close to the Lord. That's when a Christian will begin to be excited about the Word and the pursuit of wisdom. And let's go to Job 38:36 on this thought of the heart and wisdom. We don't want to get mechanical. In Job 38:36. Who hath put wisdom in the inward parts, or who hath given understanding to the heart? That's what we need. And let's go to one more, Psalm 51:6. David speaking. This is a psalm of penitence here. In 51:6. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. And so God's looking at the heart. We know he searches the heart and the mind. God wants his truth to enter into the heart. And so when the Word of God is sought with the heart, the desire, the affection, that's when we grow, don't we? When you begin to love it and you're feeding on that. Okay, let's go back to Proverbs chapter 2. So receive it and hide it, keep it by you, incline the ear toward it, attentiveness, apply the heart, turn the heart toward it. And by the way, that seems to have the thought of focus as well. This, in other words, your heart is turned toward it. You are occupied with it. And then notice in verse 3, going on here, Proverbs chapter 2, verse 3, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding. Now this definitely is prayer. This might be like David, Psalm 119, open thou mine eyes, Lord, that I might behold wondrous things out of thy law. And teach me thy ways, show me thy paths, open mine eyes, give me illumination. It's that kind of prayer. And surely God's going to answer that kind of prayer. He wants us to have wisdom. But we have not because we ask not, right? And ask, it shall be given. So again, it's not a mere casual reading here, but there's an effort involved. Here, an effort in prayer. And by the way, the Scriptures emphasize that prayer is with the heart. And so this is where you really want it, right? You want wisdom. And you, therefore you're crying out to God. And God may test us to how much we want wisdom. And we're going to see it's to be searched out as treasure. Well, that's not something you necessarily immediately find. But with the search, it's going to be found. And so God, He does give wisdom as we come in faith. But he's looking for that sincerity of the heart where we're appealing to him. Now, you notice that they're crying, the calling after this is for after knowledge. And let's go back to Proverbs 1:7. He says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. And then towards the end, we're going to see the knowledge is the knowledge of God in 5b. And so the fear of the Lord, reverential trust, will lead towards that. But again, it's not just facts, right? It's a knowledge about him who is wisdom. That's how that word knowledge is used in Proverbs. This is knowledge of God that we're crying after. And then he goes on to say in verse 3b, he says, and liftest up thy voice for understanding. Now, the Hebrew here is directing the voice. In other words, it's a specific request. And as Paul says in Philippians 4:6, let your request be made known unto God. And this possibly could be applied in a specific way in your life. In other words, you need wisdom in a particular area, not just, well, yes, our relationship with the Lord, but we need understanding. Give me understanding specifically here, Lord. And of course, as we do ask, well, let's go to James 1. He instructs us how to do this. There's a certain key. It doesn't mean we'll obtain it unless we ask in this way. James 1:5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, then it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like the wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. Now, a thought involved in this might be, you know the passage, Proverbs 3:5, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, lean not unto thine own understanding, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. So if we come with our preconceived idea, and where we think we understand, well, that's not faith, right? If we're asking for wisdom, we're asking for God's wisdom, right? Not for him to approve of our wisdom. And so there's an asking in faith, and there's an asking with a conscious need. We're directing a specific request, give me wisdom. Let's look at an example of this in 1 Kings chapter 3. This is Solomon. And of course, Solomon wrote the book of Proverbs. And when he wrote it, he no doubt was a man of wisdom who had received wisdom and was walking in wisdom. In 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 3, this is Solomon's request for wisdom. First Kings 3:3. And Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of David his father, only he sacrificed unto burnt incense in the high places. And the king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there, for that was the great high place. 1,000 burnt offerings did Solomon offer upon the altar. In Gibeon the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night. And God said, "Ask what I shall give thee." And Solomon said, "Thou hast showed unto thy servant David, my father, great mercy, according as he walked before thee in truth and in righteousness and in uprightness of heart with thee. And thou hast kept for him this great kindness, that thou hast given him a son to sit on his throne as it is this day. And now, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David, my father. And I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or come in. And thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this thy so great a people?" And the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. And God said unto him, "Because thou hast asked this thing, and hast not asked for thyself long life, neither hast asked riches for thyself, nor hast asked the life of thine enemies, but has asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment, behold, I have done according to thy words. Lo, I have given thee a wise and an understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee." And then he goes on. He gave him other things too. Notice verse 28, the same chapter. "And all Israel heard of the judgment which the king had judged, and they feared the king, for they saw that the wisdom of God was in him to do judgment." And so it pleased God, and no doubt it still pleases God when we ask him for wisdom. "Lord, give me wisdom. Give me wisdom for whatever you've called me to do." And we know God gives wisdom. We ask in faith. Okay, let's go on now to Proverbs chapter 2 and verse 4. "If thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hidden treasures." Now we're going to see later in Proverbs how valuable wisdom is. And that, let's touch on some of those references now. In chapter 3, verse 13. "Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her." So there's a great value in wisdom. Let's go to Proverbs 8, verse 10. Now, I'd venture to say that there are people who, they devote their lives to gathering gold or precious silver, or in other words, material things and wealth, and that's a major pursuit in America, it seems like. But wisdom is higher in value. That's the point here. In chapter 8, verse 10, "Receive my instruction and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it." And verse 19, same chapter, "My fruit is better than gold, yea, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver." Let's go to one more, Proverbs 16:16. "How much better is it to get wisdom than gold, and to get understanding rather to be chosen than silver." So, very valuable. Can we comprehend how valuable wisdom is? And we're going to see a lot of the benefits as we go through Proverbs. Now, you have similar statements in Job and Psalms, but I won't go there. The value, though, of wisdom is seen, and therefore an effort to obtain her is given. "If thou seekest her and search as silver and searchest for her." So there's a diligent pursuit involved. There's a searching out. The scriptures, obviously, for this hidden treasure. Now, David put it this way, "One thing have I desired, that will I seek after." Psalm 27:4, "that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, to inquire in his temple." Or Paul, he said, "that I may know him," that Christ, "who is wisdom." And then he went on to say, "I am pressing toward the mark. I'm making a diligent effort. And I haven't apprehended that for which I've been apprehended, but I'm pressing toward the mark." So in both those cases, you have a single goal. I see what's valuable. And then you have a constant pursuit. And there ought to be a constant pursuit. It's a daily thing, isn't it? And you may do better one day than you do another in the pursuit. But it's a new day, isn't it? Where every day you plug forward, right, in the word and prayer. We could know God better than he who is wisdom. That we could find these things about him and the truth that flows from that relationship with him. But notice here, the pursuit. Again, remember the thought, ask, it shall be given. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, it shall be opened. Persistency. Sometimes a Christian may have stumbling blocks or failures or whatever. We all do to some extent. And it may be, that may be considered like a setback, and where a Christian doesn't rebound. Mistake, right? It's a to be an ongoing effort in a daily way, isn't it? Where, for instance, when it in the book of 2 Timothy, I'm just quoting for time, Paul said, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Give all diligence. Put something into this thing, and then you may say, "Well, I'm sidetracked with this, or I'm preoccupied with this, or I'm discouraged about this." Well, that's a trick of the devil, you know. You can't let things detour you away from the pursuit of the highest. And I believe that Satan's primary objective that he has is to get a Christian's eyes off of Jesus Christ. And that's God's will, isn't it? Off looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of faith, where you're not letting anything distract you. And so you realize the value of this. And so and don't let anything cause you to stumble in the pursuit of that. Jeremiah says, "If you seek for me with all your heart, you'll find me." So again, it can't just be a cursory thing, but there's a search, isn't there? And Jesus said, "Search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me." And he's the one we want to be searching for in the Scriptures. So, no easy way. It's no shortcuts. It's not reading a little pamphlet and you've arrived. No, I believe it takes much time in the Bible. And it impressed me several years back, Pastor Osbaugh, our older pastor, he's 87 now, and he said, I read the Bible three times through a year. And he said, "I feel a necessity for that, to stay close to the Lord. And I'd be afraid not to be much in the Word." And that had an effect upon me. And there's some time that we need, isn't there? You can't get away with a little dabble, do you? You know, there's a saturation. You know, like the sponge. That's the way Lewis Berry Chafer put it. A Christian ought to be saturated with the Word. And so, but this takes an effort, doesn't it? Well, if we put the effort into it, as we've seen in all these admonitions, receive, hide, incline thine ear, apply thine heart, cry, lift up thy voice, seek, search. If that's given, we're going to obtain. We'll obtain. And we have a goal here, right? "Then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord." Now, sometimes people never get beyond the first point. They hear it, but they don't hear it. They hear it, but they don't believe it. And they don't enter into wisdom at all. And so, but upon that reception by faith, then it's a constant pursuit, isn't it? And with the reward that will be given, "then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord." Now, I want to say something that I didn't in the first part of this. This pursuit is by the grace of God. Do you know that in us, we don't have the natural desire for this? The carnal mind is at enmity with God. We have the flesh, which doesn't want to do it, and it doesn't get any better. You can't improve on the flesh. And so it is like the hymn, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. And that's just the flesh now. Then you got the world, and then you got the devil. And so it's there's a resistance against this, isn't there? In fact, I believe as a Christian takes a step towards further wisdom and towards growth in the Lord, you're going to find more resistance that'll be there. However, there'll be more grace too, won't there be? Because the Holy Spirit, the Parakletos, he'll come alongside to support you in it, to strengthen and energize. So there is some obedience and yieldedness. There is an issue of the will here too, you know, that turning the heart towards him. But certainly doing it by dependence upon the Holy Spirit and the grace of God, because this is a divine energizing that's involved in this thing. Then so you can't make provision for the flesh and say, well, I don't feel like it today. I don't feel like pursuing wisdom. You know, I don't feel like being in the Word today. Don't have time. Don't feel like seeking God in prayer today. Too tired. Well, that's just making provision for the flesh, and that's not going to get us anywhere in the growth and grace and the knowledge and the grace of Jesus Christ, who is wisdom. So there's an effort, isn't there? And there's got to be a resolve where this is what we want. This is a valuable thing. Here's the treasure. It's my relationship with the Lord. That's wisdom. He's wisdom. And then with the resolve of what the goal is, seek it. And we may be tested too. But in fact, you may have opportunity for the silver and the gold part, right? And where that becomes an occupation of the mind. And maybe there might be the pursuit in that area, and there could be maybe some success in that area. Well, every good and perfect gift comes down from God, but if it becomes something that hinders a person from wisdom, we become the losers, don't we? Because you can't take a dime with you. And so it's good to have it in perspective, isn't it? What is it that's really valuable? Well, let's look at what's obtained here now. Then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord. Now, we did a study just on this. I don't know if you have a handout on that. I should have maybe put a notebook together for you. But the fear of the Lord is foundational to wisdom, we saw. It's the beginning of knowledge. It's the beginning. That's where it starts, as a reverential trust. There is a standing in awe of God, but it includes a trust in God. It's not a tormenting fear, because as Christians, He's our Heavenly Father. So it does involve trust. It does include reverence. And it does produce obedience and service, we've seen. And it brings a departure from evil, hatred of evil. And it realizes accountability to God, and it'll lead to the knowledge of the Lord. So wisdom is, the fear of the Lord is foundational to wisdom. And so what we see is if we obtain this wisdom, this is what we're going to obtain, this reverential trust, where we stand in awe of God and we trust Him. Now, remember where we started. Wisdom, the starting point is revelation. And if you were with us in the Deuteronomy study Sunday evening, thou shalt fear the Lord thy God. And He's revealed Himself, and He is a redemptive God, covenant God. And through faith in Jesus Christ and His blood, we've entered into a relationship, haven't we? And so the fear of the Lord thy God, it's personal, isn't it, where you know Him. God has revealed Himself to you. And the Holy Spirit gives this understanding. He says, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord. This is not given to the unregenerate man. 1 Corinthians 2:14. The natural man received not the things of the Spirit of God, neither can he know them. These are spiritually discerned. But the Holy Spirit, 1 Corinthians 2, He's been given to us that we may know the things of God. And as Jesus said, He will show you the things of me, Christ said. And so He's the one who gives this understanding. So this is divine illumination involved here. Then shalt thou understand. But there's our part, seeking, studying, praying for, a single heart toward. But then God is the one who opens up by His Spirit these things to us. He gives wisdom is the point. And let's go to Daniel 1. Now, Daniel was a man who was characterized by wisdom. He did have wisdom in prophecy that God gave him, but he had wisdom in the knowledge of God as well. Daniel chapter 1 and verse 17. As for these four children, God gave them, that's Daniel and his three friends, God gave them knowledge and skill and all learning and wisdom, and Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. That was supernatural. God gave him that. And notice in chapter 2, verse 21, apparently even in the areas of science, God gave it. 2:21, and he changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. He revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with him. So God gives wisdom. And, of course, the way that Proverbs is focused is the knowledge of the Lord. It's wisdom about him and how to live for him, too. Let's go to Ecclesiastes chapter 2 and verse 26. You know, Jesus, he prayed to the Father, Matthew 11, 25, I thank you, you've hidden these things from the wise and prudent and revealed these things unto babes. In Ecclesiastes 2:26, for God giveth to a man that is good in his sight wisdom and knowledge and joy. But to the sinner he giveth travail to gather and to heap up, that he may give to him that is good before God. This also is vanity and vexation of spirit. But God gives wisdom. That's the point. So if we're going to get it, it's got to come from God. He has a monopoly on this. And it does come as revelation through his word, as we've seen. But after this pursuit, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord. Now, the last phrase, and find the knowledge of God, Proverbs 1:5b. And find the knowledge of God. Now, notice there is understanding and there is finding. So, I mentioned earlier, there's a constant pursuit of God in the Christian life. That's true, right? Because we never arrive. However, surely there's a satisfactory obtaining. You know, God doesn't hold a carrot out there. Keep going, you know. There is a receiving. There is an obtaining that God gives. There is a satisfaction. And when Paul said that I may know him, let's go to Philippians 3 on this. He did know the Lord, didn't he? Or when Moses said, show me thy glory, he had seen God's glory. And there was the finding already, but the realizing that they hadn't arrived, that God is infinite, that there was still a constant pursuit. But the point being, there was a satisfaction. And we need it, don't we? The human heart hungers after this. In Philippians chapter 3, let's go back to verse 8. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I've suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. This is personal with Paul. He did know the Lord. He loved the Lord. But he wanted to know the Lord in a better way. Same way with Peter. You know, Peter talks a lot about the knowledge of the Lord. And for Peter, he talks about adding to your faith virtue to virtue, knowledge to knowledge, self-control. And by the way, it's more than knowledge that obtains the personal knowledge of the Lord, right? It's more than knowledge of the Scriptures. It's application of the Scriptures. Can two walk together unless they be agreed? Actually, we don't know the book at all unless we apply the book, right? So there's the life conformity to him, and that's what Paul is going on to say in verse 12. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I'm apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, previous progress, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. So, that we may find the knowledge of God. And there is an obtaining, even though there's a constant pursuit. Now, the knowledge of God, as Solomon puts it here, is an experiential knowledge, same way as Paul's putting it. It's a full personal experiential knowledge of God. That's what he wants us to have. And it involves fellowship with God. Well, let me quote Kylan Delitzsch. Just as he gives wisdom, it is nowhere else than with him. And it never comes from any other source than from him. So you're seeking wisdom. Well, you're seeking him. He gives the wisdom and he is the wisdom. He himself is wisdom. In him are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. So it's a great thing, isn't it? You know, when you're saved, when a person's truly saved, it's a revelation, isn't it? It's a miracle. Your eyes are opened. God, who commanded the light to shine out of the darkness, gives light through the gospel to shine in your heart. Didn't quote that just right. But it's a creative act, isn't it? And it's a revelation that God gives you. Same thing with finding wisdom. I wouldn't say a creative act. We're already born again. But it is a revelation, illumination, right? I'm not saying any additional truth in the Bible now. No extra biblical revelation. But in a personal way where he opens it up to us. And it becomes real. And that's where a Christian is growing. And so if we fall into a dull routine and that isn't happening, you may get bored. But if it's personal, where God is showing himself to us in the scriptures, that's where it's going to become progressive, right? And you're going to have an excitement in his word. So a fresh, vigorous spirituality, it's going to come from a wholehearted digging into the word. And it is definitely going to result in a personal intimacy with Jesus Christ. And that's what we want. And if that's there, other things in life will take care of themselves because we'll be in his presence, right? And we have intimacy and a directness in prayer and also wisdom and grace for our walk. So it's a great section of Scripture, this Proverbs 2. God does give wisdom, but he's going to give it to the seeking soul. That's the gist of this. God gives wisdom. But remember these words. Receive, hide, incline your ear, apply your heart, cry after, seek, search. And there's a disposition involved in this as well as an effort, an openness in that receiving. The hiding, you're keeping it on hand. You're attentive. Our affections are involved. You're specific in prayer, persistent in the effort, and value it. So there's a disposition as well as the effort. We want to keep our hearts open, right? And we want to keep our effort there. And then we'll obtain. God's not going to frustrate us, you know. He wants us to have wisdom. He's given us the book that we can have wisdom. And so, how much wisdom do we have? Here's the question. How well do we know the Lord Jesus Christ? How intimate are we in our relationship with him? That's what we're after, isn't it? We want to know him. We want to be close to the Lord and have the fear of God, the knowledge of God. Let's pray. Father, how we thank thee for thy word and open it up to us. Give us wisdom, we pray. Teach us thy way. Show us thy path. Help us in this pursuit of wisdom. Help us to be more diligent in this pursuit of wisdom. Help us to lay aside other things that may hinder in this pursuit of wisdom. And help us to know thee in a greater way, to grow in our relationship with thee. Thank you for this time, for each one here. Bless your word to our hearts, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.